everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad you are back with me this week. I have a great return guest. His name is Israel Wayne, and many of you I know are familiar with him because he's been on the podcast. He's been part of our homegrown Generation Family Expo. Maybe you've heard him speak at a conference or you've read some of his books. He has tons of great books. He's just kind of all over the homeschool world and has been for many, many years. But for those who might not know him, you are going to be just blessed this week to get to know Israel and a little bit about him and his family. And he has another great resource that recently came out, and we're so super excited about this one. So we'll talk a little bit about that this week as well. But before we get into it, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you want to prepare for possibilities, BJU Press is with you. They have homeschool materials that will prepare your child for a future full of possibilities, ensuring your child confidently steps beyond homeschool, ready for whatever God has next. They'll be with you every step of the way, and they're grateful to be part of your homeschool journey. Visit them at bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Israel, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocks podcast. For those who do not have any idea who Israel Wayne is, introduce yourself and your family to us.
Well, I am a homeschooled graduate. My family began homeschooling back in the dark ages, before homeschooling was really even a movement. We began homeschooling in 1978. My wife, Brooke, was also homeschooled. Her family began homeschooling in 1983. So we are both second-generation homeschoolers, and we have 11 children that we have homeschooled from birth, ranging from ages 23 down to age 2. We have 6 girls and 5 boys, and I have worked professionally in the homeschool publishing world for over 30 years. I've been speaking at conferences since I was a teenager, and have written several books, including 2 on homeschooling, one called Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And another one called Answers for Homeschooling. So my whole kind of professional adult life has been working within the homeschool community.
Yeah, love it. And you're so good at it. I remember when we first met you, it was at a Teach Them Diligently convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And this was probably 6 years ago. And that's a long time ago, but it's been so neat to see your ministry over the years and just how the Lord is using you to speak truth into the lives of so many people. I mean, just thousands and thousands of people all across the nation. I mean, you travel internationally as well. Like, you go all over the place and talk about homeschooling and family discipleship. And so you have a very similar mindset and mission to what we have here at the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. And I'm so grateful for that. And the resources that the Lord has led you to produce and to write have been significant for our family as well. And we are grateful for that. And I know your newest one, I was so excited. I knew this one was coming out. And years ago, let's see, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, we started going to a church and they started talking about catechism. And I grew up in a church and in a Christian school, but I had never heard about catechism before. I did not know what that was. And so this church started talking about it. And I was like, what in the world is a catechism? I have no clue. And so as we started learning this catechism, and you know, we didn't do a whole lot of memorization with it, but we started reading through it with our girls and we were like, this is really fascinating. Like, it really does kind of set the foundation for our faith. So you have a new book called Foundational Truths, A Modern Catechism, Answering the Essential Questions of Christianity. And so I want to talk about this book this week. Let's kind of start out, I mean, explain what a catechism is, kind of give the history behind that. And then let's move into what this is, you know, what does a modern catechism look like?
Well, so first of all, a catechism is really just a question and answer format method of teaching Bible doctrine. So there's nothing really esoteric or strange about it. It is a tried and true method that has been utilized by the Christian church for many centuries. There are some people who have heard about or seen my book who have been confused by it because they grew up Roman Catholic. And they associate catechism with something that is distinctly Catholic or part of their that tradition. Mm-hmm. And so they say, well, are you Roman Catholic? I'm not. I'm an evangelical Christian. But the church of throughout the whole, you know, time, the whole ages has always used catechism as a method of teaching new believers and especially children. And in fact, the first Protestant catechism that was ever written was written by Martin Luther. And so ever since that time, there have been many historic Protestant catechisms that have been published promoting particular denominations or more theological camps, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so some of those very famous historic catechisms would be like the Westminster Catechism or the Heidelberg Catechism. There's one that's the Baptists use called the Keach's Catechism. There's Anglican and Methodist catechisms. So really, there's a long-standing tradition with this, but we wanted to produce one that would be less sectarian and denominational and that would be contemporary, because a lot of these older catechisms, some of them are 400 or 500 years old. And so the verbiage is antiquated, mm-hmm. and it's difficult for especially young children to understand some of the words and the terminology that's used.
Right.
So we wanted to keep with the historic catechisms in terms of trying to provide sound biblical foundations and biblical doctrine, but we wanted to contemporize the phrasing and mm-hmm. the verbiage. So it's not new in terms of concept. We've stayed faithful to the scripture and faithful to historic Christianity, but it's just more of a contemporary English.
Yeah. So you talk about staying faithful to scripture, which I think is so important, because when we look sometimes at the contemporary church or what people, you know, might look at as the progressive church or prosperity gospel, they tend to remove parts of scripture in order to fit where the world is today. You know, this is what's acceptable in society. So we're going to change scripture or just take things out to make it acceptable. And, you know, love is love. You know, I mean, there's so many things. So I appreciate in this, and as we've gone through it, you know, we've started going through this as a family, as we've gone through it and as I've read through the book, you don't do that. You've not removed scripture. As a matter of fact, you've done the complete opposite. You've introduced scripture into all of these Q&A sections of the book, and you've got scripture memory. You've got all sorts of things that just in every way point us back to truth. And I think that's so important. So I want to talk, we're going to take a break real quick, but when we come back, I want to talk about how you did that. Like what was the process of creating this resource, and how did you study through it in order to come up with these specific foundational truths? So we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll be right back.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Israel. So let's talk about the book. Like how, maybe even first, like why did you decide to write this? Was this something that Master Books was like, Israel, we would like for you to write a contemporary catechism? Or was this something that was just on your heart? And how did you go about coming up with these specific foundational truths to include in this catechism?
Yeah, actually, this was a project that was suggested to me by the publisher, by Master Books. And the current president at Master Books, Randy Pratt, he had been raised in a Christian church, like a lot of us, that did not use a catechism. And at a certain point, he became a pastor, and then he became a principal, I think it was, at a private Christian school for a season. Mm-hmm. And it was happened to be a Lutheran school. And a lot of the older liturgical type churches still use this method of catechism. So some of the Presbyterian churches and the Lutheran churches still use this approach. And it was new to him. He was not familiar with it. And as he was looking through it, he thought, this is a very helpful method of teaching children important Bible doctrine. And I think that many of us have had the same experience when we grew up in churches, Christian churches, that we didn't get a lot of actual Bible doctrine in our Sunday school programs growing up. Sometimes we got Bible stories, or we got character lessons or things like that.
Flannel boards.
Yes, right. And lots of games and sugar.
Right.
But we didn't get a lot of theology. We didn't get a lot of Bible doctrine. And so he said that he felt like there was a need within what we would call kind of the mainstream evangelical Christian world to have a reintroduction to catechism, but to do it in a way that was aesthetically appealing. The book is very beautiful. It's very contemporary and very appealing in its aesthetics. And so the struggle for me was to try to figure out how to narrow down to the top 52 questions that we wanted to tackle. Some of the catechisms are quite long and have over 200 questions. And so I really tried to focus on the ones that I felt were most essential to understanding the flow of Christian theology. So obviously we want to have some things about who God is, you know, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of creation, the nature of humankind, man, the fall, the introduction of sin, the remedy to sin, and then a lot about Christ, of course, who Christ is, his divinity, and about the work of the Holy Spirit and the role of the church. And so you just try to think through what the really big questions are. And we wanted to avoid our catechism being narrow and provincial and sectarian and divisive, because honestly, some of the older historic catechisms were kind of territorial in the sense of saying, here's what makes our ism different from everybody else's. And so here's why we're right and everybody else within Christianity is wrong, right? And so some of them actually even kind of are aggressive in attacking other Christian groups that don't hold to their doctrinal viewpoint on secondary matters.
Sure.
And so what we wanted to do was really focus on the primary doctrines, the ones that are core and essential to Christianity that all true Christians agree on and believe together, that the things we hold together in unity. To focus on those and to have a resource that would reach whether you're from a Reformed tradition or a Pentecostal charismatic or an independent fundamental background or, you know, middle of the road, you know, Bible church, you know, E-Free Calvary Chapel, like no matter what tradition you're from, Anabaptist, that Wesleyan, you know, that these are things that all of these churches would hold together. As being a statement of faith. This is who we are. This is what we believe.
Yeah.
These are the essentials. This is what holds us together as Christians.
Yeah. I want to go through some of this this week, but first I want you to kind of dissect that a little bit and dive a little bit more deeply into what you mean by that. Because what are some of the things that we are as Christians that you would say we are united in these things? And then there, as you said, you know, there are these secondary matters that are maybe a matter of interpretation because, you know, different denominations interpret the Bible differently. So can you dig a little bit more deeply into that? And where do we unite as Christians, as true followers of Christ, things that are just non-negotiables? And then what would some of those secondary issues be?
Yeah. You know, actually, I want to mention a second resource, if I can here real quickly.
Sure.
There's a high school curriculum that I created with Masterbooks. It's called Foundations in Faith. Mm-hmm. And this is a 36-week, 5-day-a-week curriculum that that's a workbook format. And so it goes through talking about the primary doctrines and the secondary doctrines. And it really is very exhaustive in terms of helping students to understand that these are the core primary things that all true Christians hold together. And then these secondary issues are where we tend to have our differences and disagreements. So primary doctrines would include things like God being the creator of all things, that God being one triune God who you know, is known in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the virgin birth of Jesus, the sinless life of Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, the infallibility of Scripture, and the authority of Scripture, the second coming of Jesus, the importance of baptism and communion in the life of the church, the importance of the church. Those are things that all true Christians through all time have always held in common.
Yeah.
So where we tend to disagree, and these are called secondary doctrines, are things like the end times, like when does Jesus return, and how long is the millennium, or, you know, is that figurative, or is that a literal 1,000 years, or spiritual gifts, are sign gifts like tongues and prophecy and gifts of healing, are those still in operation today, or have those ceased? Were those just for the time of the apostles? Or methods of baptism, you know, what mode of baptism, at what age does somebody get baptized? We disagree on church government, you know, whether it should be a plurality of leaders or one main leader. And there's so many, you know, who is eligible to be a church leader? You know, there's lots of those secondary doctrines that we disagree on. And the secondary doctrines are important. I always cringe a little bit when people say, well, you know, these secondary doctrines don't matter. Well, yeah, they matter a lot, actually. Yeah. And so we don't want to say that those things are unimportant, because they are. But they don't define who you are as a Christian. They don't decide who's in and out of Christianity. But they do mean that we might not be able to start a local church together.
Right.
You know, Calvinism and Arminianism would be another one of these that Christians disagree on. And there's just different interpretation and understanding of the Bible. And so we don't see these things as being litmus tests for who is saved.
Yeah.
We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone.
Amen.
And so justification by grace through faith is a primary doctrine.
Yeah.
But you know, many of the denominational distinctives do not save you. And so I think it's important. And with this curriculum, Foundations in Faith curriculum, I wanted students to be more aware of the differences that are out there within the Christian church, but we don't pick sides. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's more informational than polemic. We're not trying to tell teenagers this is the correct way to think about the secondary issues. Yeah. We kind of lay it more out there and say, some Christians see it this way, some Christians see it that way. We want you to go back and talk to your parents. We want you to go to your local church, and we want you to ultimately go back to the Scripture,
right?
Because the Word of God is the final authority for everything. The Foundational Truths book, this one is more, you know, the things that everybody agrees on. And so I think that almost, you know, anyone from any Christian faith, you know, Protestant faith tradition would resonate with the things that are talked about in this book. It won't be like you'll read it and say, oh, well, our church doesn't agree with that, or our church doesn't believe that. Because if you deny the divinity of Christ and you deny the virgin birth and the resurrection, you're not saved, right? So, you're not a Christian. And so, you know, but if you're within a certain unity, you know, all of the things that we're talking about in this book, I think you're going to have agreement with.
Yeah, agreed completely. I'm sure I've probably told this story before on the podcast, but when I was in high school, I had grown up in a very charismatic church, and I went to a pretty conservative Christian high school. And things would happen in my church as I was growing up that I knew they just didn't sit right with me, but I didn't know why. And I was, you know, 16, 17 years old. And I had one of my classes was Bible theology. And so I liked my teacher a lot. He was just he really understood God's word and had studied it a lot. And so there were several times where I would go to him after a Sunday service at the church that I was at. And I would say, so this is what happened on Sunday morning. And I don't know how to process this, because it just doesn't seem right to me that they practiced this particular thing. And without hesitation, he would always say, well, it doesn't matter what I say. What does the Word of God say about it? And he would open up the Bible with me. And that was the first time I ever really learned to look at the Word of God, because man is sinful, man is fallible, and it doesn't really matter what man says. And of course, if you have someone who's really studying scripture, you know, like you do, and like my husband does, I'm thankful to have a husband who leads our family really well, who really digs into God's word and is really serious about it. And I do the same myself. And there are so many things I still don't understand, but we only should ever look to scripture for as the ultimate authority. So I appreciate that you said that. And I appreciate a resource like this that helps to point us back to scripture, helps us to point our kids back to scripture to say, what does God's word really say about these things? So we have lots more to talk about, but we're out of time for today. We will be back on Wednesday. Before we come back though, on Wednesday, Israel, tell people where they can find out more about you and your ministry and get a copy of Foundational Truths and also Foundations in Faith. Where can they find those things?
They can order those and get signed copies actually from our website, which is familyrenewal.org, familyrenewal.org. And also, if they're interested in having me speak at their church or their event, they can go to israelwayne.com. And I'm on social media, so please connect with me wherever you hang out on social media. Just look up Israel Wayne.
All right. We'll put those links in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are so thankful for you. If you've not left a review for this podcast, would you take a few minutes right now, just pause whatever you're doing and leave a review, a written review or a five-star review, whatever it is. And if there's anything that we can do to help serve you as homeschool families, let us know. Who do you want to hear from? What topics do you want us to talk about on the podcast? If there's some way that we can be praying for you as a family, let us know. You can always send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next on the podcast and have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back on Wednesday. Bye.
The one thing that I would like to highlight is that family devotions, family worship time really needs to be as unique and distinct as every single family. And it just like homeschooling looks different for every family. Family worship time should look different as well. So sometimes people will write to me and they want like a formula or like, give me the rules.
Right.
You know, tell me the instructions about exactly how to use this. Well, I don't want to tell you how to homeschool. I don't want to tell you how to do family devotions. The most important thing is that you do it, right?
Yeah.
How you do it, that can be as flexible as your family.